Dr. Rose Phillips, shall we talk about what the future holds?
Yes.
If you want to comment on that, Rose, you can. Feel free to. But Dr. Rose Phillips, of course, is a futurist, a medical doctor, and the person who's the executive, of course, when it comes to people and human capital, as it were, at APSA. So, Rose, good to have you on the show. We are looking at a post-COVID South Africa and world. But if you want to comment on what just happened, you can feel free to do so, or we can just get straight into this.
Okay. Hello, Kino. Hello, listeners. I have heard Brian, and what I'm hearing from Brian and your conversation is that all life is important. And this is probably going to sound a little bit strange because I want to talk about the things that I would like to raise today, which is really about life in COVID. This is not there's no life post-COVID.
Yeah.
We're going to be having this virus and other viruses, sure, et cetera, conversations for a very long time. And in fact, today is World Environment Day. So we're talking about hugging each other. Maybe the only thing we can hug right now is hug a tree. The tree also needs to be hugged in part of part of this world and life that we live in. So in 2011, the UN General Assembly declared this period from 2011 to 2020, International Decade on Biodiversity, right? And really to talk about biodiversity and the overall vision for harmony with nature. And if you look at where we are today, nature's also on the verge of a breakdown. I mean, Brian talks about how we have started to disrespecting life, human life. We're also disrespecting animal life. You know, 1 million animals and plant species likely to disappear soon.
Yep.
Our actions, whether it is deforestation, encroachment on wildlife habitat, and intensified agriculture, climate change, and we've pushed nature to its limit. Right now, we take 1.6 Earths. We don't even have enough space on this Earth to meet the demands that humans make on nature. And as we get to 9 billion humans, we can't get along with ourselves, and we can't get along with the planet either. If I was God, to be honest with you, I am who ultimately we all think God put humans in charge of this planet. And to be honest, we are in charge of this planet. I would retrench all of us.
Maybe
put the lions in charge. Maybe put the ants in charge. But it's true, right?
Yeah. I would put a virus in charge, right? I would put a virus in charge because the virus actually teaches us lessons. The virus makes us sit down and listen. The virus makes us reconsider and challenge a lot of assumptions that people have held over a very long time about how life should be lived.
Absolutely. And in fact, the virus combined with the lockdown, I was hoping, was exactly that period of reflection. That period of reflection to say to us fundamentally, the path that we have been on as the human race will have to change. Now, today I'm just going to talk about biodiversity and how we're going to live differently. How are we going to treat our homes differently?
Exactly.
How are we going to treat our offices differently? But the point is, the path that we have been on is not sustainable. Even if you bring the George Floyd or the Collins conversation into the equation, as a human race, can we really be proud where we stand today?
I know.
With what we have achieved?
No.
And it's a time for reflection.
No. I mean, you know, some people also say, just from a consumption perspective, what was the movie called again, Joe? I'm just trying to think. I think it was called, it had Cyrus the Virus in it. And there was a quote, Con Air. There we go. Nicolas Cage was in there, right? And there was a dude called Cyrus the Virus, and there was one comment in it saying that women...
Horrible character.
Yeah, it says that humans are like viruses, right? We go in, we consume, we deplete, we move on, we do exactly the same thing. And that is what's happening. Some do care, but not enough, else we wouldn't be where we are at the moment.
However, we've been given consciousness.
Yes.
We have choice. Very few, if any, animals, and I'm going to say very few because we don't know, but we can't argue at this point in time with the science that we know that any other animal species on this planet has consciousness as choice necessarily, or can exercise choice as we can as humans. And, you know, it takes me back to my statement about us as humans needing to think of ourselves as ancestors, because we've been thinking of ourselves as descendants. We are descendants of this earth, and we consume and destroy as much as we can. But we will have to think about what do we leave of this planet for the future, whether the future of the human race or just the future of the planet, that we have to think about in all that we do. And we have to think about it. Well, we just very, very quickly, if I may go into the topic, because you and Brian now took my time.
Go for it. Go for it.
A few things. So let's just think first and foremost about how the way we live is going to change, where we live is going to change, how we work is going to change. Now, I know we've all now moved into social distancing, and even though we're at level 3, some of us are going back to work. We are still trying very hard, and we should maintain social distancing. If we can work from home, we should work from home. If we can order online, we should order online.
Yep.
But I don't want people to think that that means that we should sell all our office blocks. What probably is going to end up happening is that office blocks are going to be converted into mixed-use facilities. So APSA, for example, has done that in the center of Johannesburg, turned an entire precinct into a mixed-use facility where there's everything happening at the same time. But humans are always going to need interaction. So there are some people thinking in who own corporate real estate, and they're thinking they're not going to have any corporate real estate at all. Everybody's going to work from home. That's not going to be sustainable. They are going to be mixed-use spaces that are going to be needed, and people are, I think we're going to do flexible working, sometime in the office, sometime at home, but I don't think it's going to be an entire shift from one side to the other. So that's the view on the office blocks, but then the view on home living also completely changes.
And that's our capsule, right? That's where we've been for a good couple of, and our relationship with our homes have changed, because normally it's getting up, going to work, coming out, going to friends, coming back, sleeping. Now we have...
Yes, I know.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. How do you see the home environment changing?
So if we just think about the caveman, right? I mean, the cave, the way that the home has changed from the cave to these interstellar things that can almost speak to the space station right now and everything in between. It was sort of pre-industrial buildings. It was just for shelter and a bit of insulation. And then we added water, and we added waste disposal, and then we added electricity, and now we've got all the networking and electronics. But it was all just nice to have. It was more about form. It was becoming more about form and not necessarily about how the function of the home works. And now the cave or the home is, as you said, it's now become our self-contained sanctuary. That's what I call it. I call it the self-contained sanctuary. I look at the designs that were pre-COVID that were being put forward in China and Hong Kong, where they have these huge high rises going up to the sky, and they pack a whole host of people in it. And they actually had a design where certain floors are kitchens and communal areas, and then the rest of the spaces are sleeping areas. Well, I think they're going to have to rethink that design, because with social distancing required, just having the ability, Kino, to close a door. We know now how important it is to just have the ability to close a door for your own mental health and have a space, even if it's the guest toilet that you use, to just to be able to hide from the rest of the world, whether it's your two-year-old that's giving you a hard time or whoever it might be, that you can have some private space. I think this notion of open plan living is also going to change.
Unless, let me challenge that. So there are a couple of competing things, you're right. We don't have enough space. We need 1.6 planets to deal with all of this, right? And let me be more accurate around it. We don't have enough space close to our centers of work and where we generate capital and value for an economy. So I'm almost thinking it's not going to be quite feasible to build homes where people can be self-contained. But my take on that is, and I'm probably very wrong, but my take is we'll end up developing technology. So we were just talking to Dr. Chris Smith this morning, where UVC, for example, which is on the other side of the spectrum, can actually obliterate a virus. We will find smarter high-rise buildings where these viruses could be killed using design, and inclusive design, which would include the UVC type scenario, for example. So I'm not sure, and maybe I'm reading you incorrectly. Are you stating that we'd rather move towards the home side of thing where we have a self-contained property?
No, I don't think that we have the opportunity yeah. to have one size fits all.
Sure.
I think that there are some people that are in their homes right now and have to rethink how they use their homes. Mm. And then there are situations where we have high-rises, and we will continue building high-rises.
Yeah.
But the way in which we design it, we're going to have to think differently. We have to think about it as mixed use, because we also have scenarios when, you know, I live in Johannesburg, so I look at the central business district of Johannesburg, completely run down. Now, that place will turn itself into a complete slum, and yet it was the hub of activity yes. as part of Igoli for many years.
Yeah.
We have to rethink how we use those offices. And those offices are going to have to become mixed-use facilities where you live and you work at the same time. But when you do that, you have to think about the function more than you think about the form.
Yes.
Because right now we've been thinking about the form, and we've removed any issues related to public health, because we've assumed that was taken care of when we took care of water and we took care of electricity and we took care of sanitation. No longer the case. In comes a virus, and now we have to think about sanitized entryways. We have to think about self-contained buildings, because we're not moving around as often as we used to.
Gotcha.
We have to think about how technology allows us to be even smarter. You know, with Elon Musk, for example, putting all the satellites around the Earth to be able to allow us to have Wi-Fi in a way that is actually usable for everybody and not just a certain few. I mean, this is the thing about being a futurist. You know, you're heading this. Head in the sky and hopefully head in the clouds and hopefully feet firmly on the ground.
Mm.
It's very difficult to say that there is a one-size-fits-all.
Absolutely.
But there is really some changes that we all need to make. I take it at a simple example. If I come from Kensington in Cape Town, right? And I could never really understand why we are so proud of our lawns. Now, unless you have cattle and you have goats, a lawn is pretty, but it's not very useful. And maybe now with COVID times, when you can't go buy carrots and you can't buy tomatoes, maybe it's time to convert that lawn into a vegetable patch. So it's all those types of things that we're going to have to think about when we think about, has our interdependency and our need for social interaction, which will continue to be important, has it made us so reliant on things that we are no longer going to be able to be dependent upon? Because the virus is here to stay. And if it's not this virus, it will be another thing that is going to threaten our existence. And whether we talk about homes or whether we talk about how we treat other human beings and we think about the violence of our society and whether human beings are the viruses or not, as I said, we have consciousness and we have choice, and we better start making the right choices. Because if we look at how the world looks now, fires in Brazil and in the U.S., locusts in East Africa, Ebola virus outbreak in the DRC, a COVID-19 that's taking us all out in all levels of society, whether we are rich or poor, with no vaccine in sight, and we are fighting amongst each other. It's time for a different view of the world.
It certainly is. You also talk about appreciating a simpler lifestyle. And by the way, I'm going to give you some time after we just do a quick 30-second headline to give you some of that time back that we took. I'm a very giving man, so I'll give you some of that
time.
You
are indeed.
we will be wrapping with Dr. Rose Phillips after our headlines at 11:30 when Wesley pops in for that. But just let's start touching on the simpler lifestyle and your insights into that.
Yeah. You know, when we close the door behind us and we actually ask ourselves what is important and what is our wealth? What is our wealth?
Yeah.
Our wealth is our health right now, right? And what is our fortune? Our fortune is our family right now. And we rethink about what are the things that that we should focus on. And people are starting to appreciate the simple things in life. I mean, even for myself, never even thought about a vegetable patch. Because, you know, my vegetable patch is in Woolworths. But I'm rethinking about having rebuilding my green fingers. And in fact, that simpler life, you know, it was last week that your colleague asked me the question, what do I miss about the old world, which COVID-19 reminds me of?
Mm.
And I miss wasting time.
Yes.
I miss wasting time.
It is nice to
And that's what the simpler life allows you to do. Go walk in the park, your little park, or read a book, or close the door behind you.
It is so, so true. And I don't know, maybe just listening to Dr. Rose Phillips, our futurist, maybe you'd like to give us some insights. You can pick up the phone, give us a call, 021-446-0567, and WhatsApp, 072-567-1567. I think what COVID's done was give us the ability to waste some time, because now we can spend time with the kids at home because we were forced to do so. But when you go back to work, challenges, I think we're still going to want some more of that. And you have to simplify your life to give yourself more quality. But we'll continue wrapping with Dr. Rose Phillips next. Wrapping with futurist Dr. Rose Phillips. She's a medical doctor and she is a group executive at APSA as well, looking at people and culture. And we are talking about the current COVID-19. She said, and I agree, that, you know, there is not going to be a post-COVID. It's going to linger, whether as a physical disease or just the impressions and the necessities that we needed to start, summing up and going, hey, we need to protect ourselves. Those are still going to stay with us for quite some time. So, Dr. Rose Phillips, we were talking about, just a simple lifestyle. I think you made a very good point there on, the fact that we want to have, if we want to have quality, we're going to have to keep it simpler. But that would include, you also mentioned the importance of storage, also conserving energy, self-sufficient power and water in the mix as well.
Yeah, and you were earlier asking the question of listeners, if they are new entrepreneurs and thinking about what would be something that we as humans would need more of. Mm. And the way in which we use energy right now, I mean, thinking about World Environmental Day, biodiversity, and linking this with COVID-19 and how we use our homes and turning our homes into self-contained sanctuaries, the way we use energy is going to fundamentally change as well. And if I just think of, for example, solar energy and solar energy producers, people that are able to help us with solar panels on our roofs, I'm thinking that is a massive industry that's also going to take off in a big way. I don't know how much borehole water is used in Cape Town, but I think that in that industry of finding other sources of water and finding ways to conserve water is also something that I think is going to be massive in the way that we move forward. If we're going to turn our home into self-contained sanctuaries and we're not going to shop as much as we used to, how do we look at the space? Are we going to have pantries in our home just to have storage space for the toilet paper? Luckily for me, I've not run out of toilet paper yet, so but deliveries, right? E-commerce, home deliveries, these are all now new entrepreneurial ventures that are being created for even somebody that runs a takeaway store to now have a little motorbike on the side and have an e-commerce site, because people are not going to leave their homes as easily as they did before, even if government lifts the restrictions and moves us down to level one. Because when we move to level one, it's not because the virus has disappeared. It's because we believe that we are potentially better prepared for the consequences of the virus. And people need to understand that. It is not that the virus has disappeared. The lifestyles that we need to think about in the future will be the lifestyles we have to think about right now, even if we get to level one, even when we get to June 20, 2021.
Yes.
And that is a new opportunity to rethink how we use our home. And it's a new opportunity for entrepreneurs to think about how they can add value to us.
That is, and that is what entrepreneurship is about, right? Being hypervigilant about what's happening around you, seeing the pain, the challenges that some people have, and then also having the ingenuity to surround yourself with the right people to be able to find the solutions. And
I do culture, right? And they say in business terms, culture eats strategy for breakfast.
Yeah.
And you can look at the COVID crisis as a crisis, or you can have a mindset shift, and this is what entrepreneurs tend to be fairly good at, the really good ones, can have a mindset shift and say COVID-19 is an opportunity.
Correct.
Yes, of course, it's massive risk and it's a massive crisis, but there is opportunity. And within opportunity, there is money to be made and there's a life to be built.
Spot on. Spot on. You should get out of corporate, man, and train entrepreneurs.
Yeah, no, they say those that can do and those that can't teach.
Dr. Rose Phillips, we love you. You are amazing. Thank you so much. A futurist, a medical doctor, group executive of people and culture at APSA. You must have a wonderful one. And hold on to those toilet rolls, okay?